I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Iraqi forces and Shiite militiamen are clashing today in Basra, less than a week after the Iraq War entered its sixth year. The president says America is on the path to winning the war, but this week, the death toll for U.S. soldiers in Iraq reached 4,000. Troop drawdowns are planned through the end of the year, but can the U.S. fight two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and deal with recruiting troubles and maintain its structural integrity? Delbert Spurlock thinks the troops are paying for decisions made by political leaders. He helped rebuild the Army under President Reagan as the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs. Today, he says the way troops are selected and prepared for service shows the U.S. Army is broken.
Most importantly, it can no longer recruit and retain the caliber of young men and women who are necessary to carry out the functions which the Army is compelled by our policymakers to deal with. The Army itself really is not large enough to take care of the missions integral even to the war in Iraq. We have been forced in this conflict to rely on contract mercenaries, the black waters of the world. But our Army for a century or more has been, when whole, a moral force for good. It's a deterrent force, and now it has lost the moral authority gained over a century.
Let's talk a little bit about specifics. The Army was meeting its recruiting goals, but that's partly because it's bending the rules a bit, allowing in more soldiers with criminal records, more soldiers without high school diplomas, some evidence that even some new recruits are gang members. And how does that affect not just the war right now and the Army's ability to fight it, but the long-term strength of the Army?
When the young people who come in are not capable of meeting the standards and engaging in the kind of training that is required, it slows down the process and makes us less capable when those young soldiers are put into combat without given the adequate amount of training. Right now, what we're faced with is pushing these young people into combat before they've had the opportunity to undergo the training, the remediation, the confidence building, the unit cohesion, which existed 20 years ago.
When you look ahead at the options that the U.S. has in terms of what you call the war of choice, Iraq specifically, what kinds of timetables should be put around a withdrawal? Should any timetables be put around a withdrawal? I'm not talking about what's politically possible. I'm talking about if you were the sole person in charge of making that decision, what would you say should unfold?
Well, if we come to some firm conclusions about how we are going to use our military based upon our national interests, we can begin to address the whole panoply of issues concerning the Middle East, South and Central America, Africa, and Muslim fundamentalism, for instance. But we're not going to be able to do that if we deal with issues in a piecemeal way. And we're not going to be able to do it if we do not engage the American people. We've been involved in these last 5 years in prosecuting a vicarious imperial war.
Delbert, I want to ask you to summarize your thoughts in one specific area, which is the interrelation between the American people, the idea of a public trust, and how this war will unfold and eventually come to an end. What role do you think American citizens should have in terms of communicating with the government, whether they're families of military members, friends of military members, or people who don't know anyone who's serving? What's the dialogue that needs to occur between the American people and the American government so that we can make smart decisions about how to deal with this war?
We've got to engage the American people in the whole panoply of issues concerning governance. And if we engage the American people in the kind of thing that I'm talking about, the Department of Defense will be at the center of that discussion. and we'll be engaged in the consequences of our acts. We will not be engaged in vicarious war. And I think our young people will start to return to the view that the United States Army and the all-volunteer force is a place to be without having to have enlistment bonuses into the $40,000 and $50,000 range.
Well, Delbert, thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Delbert Spurlock served as Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserves Affairs from 1983 to 1988.